one of the biggest pet peeves of mine is that, you know, you go on LinkedIn and everything that you see in regards to K-12 security is active shooter. Active shooter, active shooter, active shooter, active shooter. I just pushed something out on LinkedIn the other day and I said, you know, you guys do realize that though active shooter is extremely traumatic, and I worded it a little bit different, and it's super important, it is the probability of that is, I mean, minuscule in comparison to all the other violent events that happen
all the
on
time.
A school campus every single day. But yet you have companies that their entire existence is to convince you that they're going to stop an active shooting. And listen, there's some great technology out there. There's some great weapons technology. I'll say their names. You've got Zero Eyes that does AI weapons detection. You have OmniLert. You have Data Buoy that does gunshot detection and triangulation. There's some advanced technologies that do a very good job. My argument to the people that are buying these things is they're not prioritizing what they're purchasing. And what I mean by that is I always talk about the three Fs, and I mentioned it in my last one, so I'm not trying to sell anything here, but it's the foundation, the framework, and the finishes. People are putting the finishes first rather than the foundation, and the foundation resides in the people. It's identifying who you have, what their capabilities are, leveraging that to your advantage. You may have a teacher or you may have an employee. The things that we talk about can be across multiple different verticals. You may have an employee that is extremely observant or likes to process data, because the data is where we really need to be focusing. But what I'm getting at is that we're completely skipping all of the foundational pieces for the easy fix, the easy button. And companies are preying on the uninformed buyer. Training should be foundational. It should be one of the most important things that you do. And not only do it, but do it often and do it well.
And it's cheaper.
And it's cheaper. And you're going to get more return.
Absolutely.
Right?
So, and you can take it anywhere.
That's right. So exactly. And that's what people don't understand. Is what we talk about in the foundational pieces. Let's talk about training.
Sure.
You employ or you hire people to come in, professionals. I don't want to say experts, because there's been such a proliferation of experts in the space. You hire professionals to come in and train your staff to a higher standard. That staff member then takes what they've learned, that you've equipped them with, and you take that out into your community, to your ball fields, to your, you know, your grocery stores. Buffalo, New York, grocery store shooting.
Right.
You know, you have a teacher or an administrator or a paraprofessional that you've trained with taxpayer dollars. That taxpayer dollar is going to be, you know, on the backside, you're getting an ROI, because if you have a shooting in your grocery store, now you have someone who can fill that gap. You know, and I talk about gap, we can get into that a little bit, but the gap is that time from when the incident occurs to where someone shows up, where they can provide you assistance, whether it be medical or law enforcement. And so talk to us about Fox 2 Sierra,
sure.
Right? And what y'all do. Tell me about, I want to hear it all. Let's hear it all. Let's let everybody hear what you guys do, right?
Fox 2 Sierra has been evolving.
Okay.
Right? We met on LinkedIn.
Yeah, we did.
Right? And I would say that at its evolution, it started out as a training company. Mm-hmm. Essentially, I had a lot of free time on my hands during COVID, and I immersed myself in community. I went to the ground. I was like, in New York, people thought if they stepped outside their front door, they were gonna drop dead. And we had a lot of elderly people in my neighborhood. I started just doing grocery shopping, honestly, and just delivering it. And word got out that there's some dude going around shopping for people who are afraid to go outside. That got me into a house of worship, because they're like, who's taking care of our congregation? And then they asked me about my background and experience, and they're like, hey, you know, we're applying for a security grant, and based on your background, maybe you can help us. Again, having a lot of time on my hands and knowing nothing about the grant space, I was like, sure.
Sure.
And I just went down the rabbit hole. That's my problem is once I get my hooks into something, I have an addictive personality right. by nature. So helping community, which was in line with my career at that point, made it easy for me to go, all right, let me see what I can do to help here. I reviewed the paperwork and I'm like, there's no way they're getting a grant with this paperwork. That paperwork was done. The security threat assessment was done by the local police department for free as a service to the community, which was well-intentioned, right?
Right.
But it read like an OSHA report. It wasn't a terroristic or, you know, security analysis. It was like the curb cutouts are not deep yeah. enough.
And your fire extinguishers exactly. haven't been updated in three months.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. And so, of course, Homeland Security declined it. It rejected it. So I was like, look, let me help you out next time. We can get this done. It's going to cost a little money, not for me, but let's bring on board reputable people,
right.
credentialed people who can do this and do mm-hmm. it well. It was not an astronomical sum of money, but you had to spend some money.
That's been a hurdle for me because, like, for example, I have a house of worship right now that reached out to me. They want to install a single access control panel on a door that's going into their children's ministry. You know, they have no foundation. So it's, you know, there's some additional charges up front in order to establish, you know, the back end, right? So it's expensive. You know, you're looking at about $6,500, right? Mm-hmm. And so I sat down and I know one of the guys personally, and I said, look, let's have a conversation. So what do you mean? I said, I have a better solution for you. What do you mean? I said, well, you're going to spend $6,500 on a single access control panel, and we're happy to do that for you. But at the end of the day, you can spend $5,000 with a professional grant writer that we have, and we can potentially get you $150,000 of grant money. Now, it's not going to resolve your immediate need, but we can figure out how you address that with people. Right. And in the interim, you're just going to have to figure that out and fill that gap. But your $5,000 investment is going to go a heck of a lot further than that $6,500 on that one panel. So I totally get what you're saying about, you know, trying to help people out and, you know, where's the ROI and
right.
whatnot. So I go ahead. Finish your story about this place.
So I got them the right person
okay.
for the threat assessment. They were successful. They got the $150,000, like you just mentioned. And then I started to go through the grant. What does it cover? And as you probably know, as I'm sure you know,
oh yeah,
like default setting is target hardening. You're getting windows, doors, armed security guards, camera systems, access yeah. control, right? And here's the thing: the lay person has no idea what any of this actually costs. Or what it looks like, it's almost like you're being given a Formula One race yeah. car with no experience and saying, yeah. all right, go ahead, try to win yeah. this race.
I've said that 100 times. It's like, you know, some of this stuff is like giving someone a Ferrari, but that you put an 87 octane in it.
Right.
It's not going to perform
right.
the way that it's intended, right? And so, you know, what's funny is, not funny actually, but I can relate is that, you know, the average layperson, not only do they not know what they qualify for, but let's say they do qualify, they don't know how to draft it and put it together to make it all work
right.
effectively and efficiently. And so that's where teams like my team, teams like your team come in and, you know, can help them, right? You know, it doesn't matter if it's houses of worship or if it's, you know, schools. The majority of the time, the individuals that are responsible for making these decisions are not equipped. And they're listening to individuals, like you said, that are well-intended.
Right.
They're listening to people that are not well-intended.
Correct.
That are just trying to sell them something.
Because the money's free.
It's free money. It's not your money.
Right.
right. But they cash those checks.
Right.
And at the end of the day, once that money's spent, there's no sustainable relationship after that. And I think that's what separates guys like you and I in the space is that, yes, we have to feed our families. But at the end of the day, we want to establish a sustainable relationship with these individuals.
Absolutely.
Right?
I couldn't agree more with the sustainability. if you think you're going to be a one-hit wonder and come in and educate people and then leave and they're good to go, never in a million years. My analogy is, I mean, you have the law enforcement background, military background. Can you imagine if soldiers went through a month of basic training, and then we sent them to war?
Yeah, no.
Can you imagine that?
Annihilated. Yeah, there's no way.
It doesn't make sense.
And that's what I tell people all the time. You know, I was on the Secret Services counter-assault team, Team 5 and Team 6. I wish that I had a count of how many times I made the same button hook into our shoot house. You know, I tell my daughter will be playing collegiate soccer next year. 10,000 repetitions. In order to be proficient, you have to have 10,000 repetitions. So, you know, it gets into what you guys do at Fox 2 Sierra is do some advanced level training for these individuals. One of the problems that I see with legislation efforts is that, like in the state of Texas, okay, we're going to require X amount of drills. Okay, great. You've conducted an active shooter drill where, you know, we're going to adopt the locks, you know, the standard response protocol. I love you guys. Locks, lights, out of sight. Okay, now we go locks, lights, out of sight, get in the corner. All right, we're good. Everybody's good. We passed that. Well, you have no resistance. There's been no resistance to that, right?
Didn't work in Uvalde.
Well, here's the deal. Like Uvalde, right? Leading up to that event, you asked Pete Arredondo, do they have everything under control?
He'd say yes.
Yes. In fact, they were gloating about it just prior to that, not even 90 days prior to that, because they did a drill.
Training, yeah.
And, of course, everybody wins in training because they don't have the right oppositional force. You know, it's like I put out a challenge. I've been putting out a lot of challenges lately. I apologize.
I love them.
I've been putting out some challenges.
Yes.
One day somebody's going to call me to it, and I'm gladly going to accept. But I think it was Iowa or Ohio? It was Ohio. They were buying shoot houses for their school districts.
Yeah, the mobile shoot house.
It's like,
yeah.
Dude, what? Come on, yeah. Man. You know, because they want to arm teachers. And, you know, listen, I go back and forth. You know, I tell people all the time, no, I traditionally don't believe in arming teachers. But I also believe that in some cases you have to when you're in deep, you know, East Texas, West Texas, where response time doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Right, so they may be your first line of defense, but just arming teachers at will, just because a district wants to, because maybe they're rooted in far right politics and they think that that's what their constituents want, rather than actually thinking this through, I think is very, very irresponsible.
Well, if you're selling fear,
yeah, it works.
Right, that's it. That's all it takes.
Yeah.
And that's also to bring things full circle. That's what's going on our campuses and everywhere else. If there's an agenda. Whatever that agenda is, right, and it's being pushed out through electronic means or social media means and not through human interaction, right? Ask any of these kids on a college campus who they know over there, what the history of the land is, what river, what sea they're talking about.
They don't know.
They have no clue.
No clue.
And my response on LinkedIn, you know, that's the one thing that finally got me amped up enough to say something was, October 7th happened. I was on the next flight over. It took me 3 days, three continents to get there. All right. But I was there. What I didn't do is block traffic. I didn't start yelling or pointing fingers or anything like that. I went to help. I brought humanitarian aid. Right. I was like, what can I do to assist people in need? And I got to see with my own eyes. Right. And my suggestion to these kids is they're spending an astronomical sum of money.
Go take a trip.
Go over there.
Go see for yourself.
That's it. Right.
Yeah.
See. And by the way, see if you're welcome there. You think you're going to be welcome with open arms. You have no idea. No idea. So
I would like to see these college kids that are, you know, causing disruption on American college campuses walk into Gaza and see what would happen. I would love for that. Listen, we know what would happen. You know, I don't think they would be so welcomed. You know, and I think they would have a serious, for lack of a better term, come to Jesus.
Yeah.
And they would realize, oh, perhaps everything is not as philosophical
I will be
as
there
it seems.
Next week, and I will report back to you when I get back
yeah.
about what is going on there.
Yeah. You know, listen, I don't ever want to tell someone that they don't have a right to protest or be upset about something. That's their constitutional American right. But all I would say is caution people is before you go and commit to something like that, you should probably think about, you know, is there any particular type of manipulation going on? Are you receiving the facts, you know, and whose facts are they? You know, what source is providing you those facts? Because it is not always as it seems, you know? And so, well, tell us about Fox 2 Sierra. I know we keep getting distracted, but tell us about
Fox 2 Sierra. For good reason.
Yeah, though, we good, do, man. I love the conversation.
So again, started out as training, and what I saw was a gap in the the grant, right? Where everybody was focusing on things that they had no understanding of. I was like, all right, I can fill a what I perceive as a gap with training. Let me train regular everyday people in the congregations to deal with an emergency, whatever that emergency is. Part of what I wanted to do was not just train regular everyday people, but was to find trainers to fit the bill. I wanted to employ former military guys coming back from the GWAT, gals coming back from the GWAT, prior law enforcement. It was very important for me seeing what was going on in the world and not to sound corny or cheesy, but legit to make America great again.
Sure.
There's a hole in me. I mean, I watched the second plane hit the second tower. I'm getting chills again. All right. I was there digging. I didn't participate in the GWAT. You know, I was going the route of the Bureau at the time, but that was going to send me overseas. I had two little kids and I bowed out and I went private sector instead. I don't regret it. Looking back, but my whole life was working towards that. Sure. Was getting into the Bureau, making, you know, top 10%, New York field office, counterterrorism, go overseas. That's all I wanted. And I sacrificed everything for that.
Were you an attorney at that time?
I was a prosecutor.
You were a prosecutor at that time. Okay.
So I was, you know, 4 or 5 years into prosecution. I mean, the process was 18 months long, if memory serves me correctly.
It took me 21 months, man. That was a long process.
It was a long process. Yeah. Very long process. Going to D.C., back and forth, all the exams. They put me up in the Watergate Hotel, which I thought was
pretty
fantastic.
Cool, right?
Yes, it was wild. But in any event, I digress. The point being is, circling back, I wanted to give, you know, members of the service purpose again. And I wanted to call on the real-world experience that they had. And I went to social media, and my first instructor was an Air Force Power Rescue Jumper out of Louisiana, Dominic Luke, the nicest guy, super sweet, incredibly knowledgeable, right? And I said, look, you don't know me from a hole in the wall. Here's the concept. And he's like, I love it. This is, we're on to something. Count me in. I never met him in person.
Really?
Yeah, it was just conversations over the phone, Zoom calls. And I brought him up to New York. And we did a two-day active, we called it the active shooter because it had to be in line with the grant. But essentially it was emergency action plan, incident command. I mean, we did aerial maps. We did closest level one trauma center. We mapped everything out. Now, I could not get anybody to train. So I put it out and I'm like, free training, come. I need to put a security team together. Crickets, man, crickets. Nobody was interested in doing that. You got people who work for a living, families. I'm asking them to come in on a weekend.
Yeah, we did that last year with a buddy of mine that owns Condition One Combat Center, Joe Morris. You know, I've always said that, you know, you can carry a gun all day long, but if you don't know how to defend yourself with someone trying to take that weapon from you, that weapons retention is a big deal. You
can't
just, you know, you're not proficient when you're just standing behind a static target with, you know, no resistance. And so I talked to Joe and I said, let's put on a seminar. Let's offer it free to teachers. None of them showed up. Dude.
Right.
None. Nobody showed up, man. You know, it was pretty, I mean, we had about a dozen, you know, people come for instruction, but they weren't affiliated with K-12.
Right.
You know,
right.
pretty disheartening, man.
It's really upsetting. It's frustrating. So I buy a full breakfast and I'm like trying to woo people from the community to come. I get 8 people to show up. All right. Now, mind you, we built out IFACs, like North American Rescue, top-of-the-line gear, all paid for by the grant.
Yeah.
$250 IFACs with top-notch gear, cat tourniquets.
You're giving that away?
That was part of the training.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the congregation, It didn't go to the citizen. It didn't go to the individuals. Yeah. It stayed in the congregation, but each member of the team was trained up on every piece of equipment in their IFAC, and they were supposed to leave it at their pew.
Okay.
Right? And it was beautifully designed and everything. Like, you could wear it around your neck, and it opened like a chest rig so that you can go hands-free, and everything was in front. We made placards with march algorithms. Like, we really went all in and spent a lot of time and effort. And again, Dominic Luke, God bless him, man. This guy is consummate professional. Anyway, I get 8 people to show up the first day. We train them up. We put nasal pharyngeals in them. I mean, I have great videos. It was hilarious. But they stayed all day. And then day 2, we had 24 people.
Oh, that's good.
They went
home.
They
got home, got on the phone.
And they were like, you got to come to this.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's when I knew that this concept was real. I had proof of concept. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, I was flying by the seat of my pants. I was like in the dark. I didn't know. I had hopes, dreams, aspirations, but I didn't know there was legitimacy here. I didn't profit off any of this. I just wanted to test the waters. You know, I wanted to make sure Dominic got paid. He got paid. And day 2 was amazing. And then the minute it was over, it was like, we got to do this again. And I was like, like manna from heaven.
That's awesome, like, man.
Now I'm committed to this. And I started to like wind down my legal career and ramp this up. So from there, well, simultaneously with that, I was designing the assess board. So the assess board was debuted. The mock-up of the assess board was debuted at that training because we needed a whiteboard. And I rolled this like Frankenstein ballistic whiteboard in there. Nobody had any idea, including Dominic had no idea what that was. And I didn't want to say anything because I was embarrassed, honestly. But we used it. And then by lunch, I had the whole bunch of students get behind this board and walk it across the hall that we were in training in. And I got, I want to say there were 12 adults behind this thing. And I had them walk 50 feet and I stood at the end. And I'm looking, do they have cover? Do they have concealment? What are the angles? Can I see around this thing? And they were able to walk undetected 50 feet with this thing. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. I videotaped it. And then I told everybody what it was. And they're like, get out of here. This is bulletproof? I'm like, yeah, it's bulletproof. I took it to the range. I shot it. So simultaneously with the training, I'm a bit of a tinkerer. And when I encounter a problem in my personal life, I try to find solutions. I'm not the guy that's like, woe is me, this is crap, you know, who's the right politician to fix this job? It's me, right?
Oh, man, we can really get into that conversation about politicians and how they're...
Sorry I said that.
Well, I mean, I think it's a justified topic to discuss is, you know, you've got tons of companies out there that are, you know, good products.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I believe in a capitalistic society where people choose for themselves and 100%. Not be forced, having something forced down their throat, you know, just because someone was, you know, had the means financially to hire lobby groups to go, you know, essentially coerce, for lack
manipulate,
of a better term,
yeah.
manipulate, you know, uninformed politicians. Because, you know, I've sat on a lot of Senate panels testifying about this stuff, and then you have private conversations with some of these people that are holding these panel discussions to better educate themselves. They don't know. They do not know what the need is.
Right.
And if you get the wrong intended group in there, the general populace may be stuck with a product or service they didn't necessarily need nor want at a premium cost. And so, you know, I get it. You know, people want to make money, but I always question, you know, listen, I you know, M6 Global is, you know, we're a for-profit company, you know. And it's funny, you said something a little while ago about you didn't get paid, but you want to make sure Dominic got paid.
Yep.
I'm the same way, man. It's funny how, you know, guys like us, we, you know, it's like leaders eat last, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And there's been a lot of times where, man, I'm the last one to pay, you know, to pay myself. I make sure that anybody that's ever worked for me, they get their money first, and then I eat last. You know, it's just the way that it's supposed to be. It's how I was raised, you know.
Same.
And you know, it is what it is. So,
no, but that is what's going to make this country great again, right? Our products, everything we do, American made.
We'll be right back.